Nanner. You can find Nanner on the homepage under Enlil's column. Nanner is the eldest son to Enlil and Enlil's official spouse, Nenlil. So if we click on Nanner, we'll go to his page, and you can see the artifact of Nanner there was him standing on the moon and also having his moon symbol up by it, the top of his cap, his crown, which is a crown of animal horns. So you can see there that Nanner is in the sky as the moon god, and he's a giant god, and on the ground are also giant gods. So this slideshow, if you perch a cursor on the artifact, you'll get a description. If you put your cursor on the artifact, it also stops the slideshow for a while. To fast forward or reverse the slideshow, there are arrows to click on. So as you go through the artifacts of Nanner, you see him in the sky many times in his sky disk, in his moon crescent, in his whatever. And here you see him in many different aircraft. And again, and you'll see it all the way through that slideshow. Very interesting. Him and others in aircraft. Then if you scroll down, you'll see a shortcut to page 2. Page 2 is all about Nanner's spouse, Nengal, who is very important as well. She's the queen goddess of the city-state Ur, as of course Nanner is the king, not the king, he is the reigning god of Ur. Ur given to him by his father. I'll get into Ur later. So under the shortcut are Nanner texts. Some of these are marked a must read. Some of these are not. If you see a must read with triple stars, it's probably going to tell you something. That's what that's about. It's rated as a 1-star, 2, or 3 being the most. And then you see artifacts being discovered still in the earth. And then you see a library being developed of written texts, the first written texts on Earth. So we come down to texts about Nanner. And there's Nanner's Temple, The Journey of Nanner. That's a 2-star. There's 1-star. Some of these things are written by kings. Some of them are not. I like Nanner and Nengal, very interesting. Triple star. Okay, the next slideshow is Nanner with giant offspring of the gods, meaning they would be the king or the high priest of Ur. Now, throughout history, Ur would become the dominant city-state for Mesopotamia, and then it moved to this city-state and that city-state and come back to Ur and move away and come back to Ur. Ur played a big importance on being the ruling city-state for the lands called Mesopotamia. And as you go through Nanner with giant semi-divine offspring, you're seeing what's called a Nephilim, or a mixed breed, a demigod, someone who is half god, half man. And how that comes into being is explained in Genesis 6, 4, I think it is, Genesis 6, 4, where it says the Nephilim were on earth in those days, and the days after, when the sons of God came down and had sex with the daughters of man. And they had children by them who became the heroes of old, men of renown. So they have demigod mixed breed children, and they appoint their children as the first kings and the first high priests. And these children are giants, not quite as giant as the gods. Men or might stand 14 feet. Maybe 16 feet, but Nanner's mixed breed offspring might stand 10 feet or 8 feet. And then, of course, the earthling is, you know, 5 feet, somewhere in there. And by the time if you put an earthling standing next to the giant god, I mean, there's no comparison. And as far as the earthling knows, that god lives forever, because he's on a much slower aging clock than we are on earth. So they age so slowly that it appears they are immortal. They are gods. And here they are, you're seeing artifact after artifact. The god Nanner wearing his crown of animal horns, and the mixed breed offspring made into high priest or what, or king, is in front of Nanner, being presented to him. So that's Nanner with giant divine offspring. And then it, you know, a little quote from Genesis 6:4. Nanner and daughter Inanna. This Inanna is the goddess of love and war. She is everywhere with artifacts and parts of stories, and she earns the title goddess of love. Of course, she lives forever on earth, you know, seemingly. So she goes through, she watches her daddy have king after king after king after king in Ur. So what she does, that king becomes the most powerful man. She makes them all her spouse. So she's always tied up. The king, the most powerful man running the city. So she becomes known as the spouse to this king. Then when he's gone, this one, then this one, then this one. And there's so many of them that she's the goddess of love. Some of these artifacts, just put your cursor on it and stop it and take a look at it closely, and you'll see the primitive shaped head or what have you, the primitive being held by the hand or by the wrist by Inanna and being dragged before her father, Nanner. Daddy, I'm going to marry this king. That's what's going on. She brings king after king to her father for marriage approval. And you can see artifact after artifact, and this goes on for thousands of years. Okay? Lots of artifacts of Inanna with a Nephilim king and her father, the moon god, the god patron over the city Ur. Ur happened to be the city of Abraham and Abraham's father Terah. So as we scroll down below that slideshow, you'll see the texts to Nanner. Some of these are just single stars, but there's information in there. That's why they're marked. And then the next slideshow is Nanner and Nunsun, who is the niece to Nanner. And Nunsun is bringing her sons. She has three mixed breed sons. She brings to one of them to Nanner and says, please make this son of mine king. His name is Ur-Nammu, and he is very tall, giant, mixed breed king that you would say is two-thirds divine. He's very close to the total DNA of the alien gods. Therefore, he's very tall, very smart, and so forth. Lives longer and all these things, advantages everywhere. So here sits Nanner and Nunsun, who has her hands up in praise of her son. And she's selling the idea of her son to Uncle Nanner to make her son king of Ur, very important city. So Nanner obliges. And next thing you know, you've got Inanna bringing kings to be to Nanner, and you have Inanna bringing kings to be her spouse. So Nunsun and Inanna artifacts are here. One slideshow's got Nunsun, another one's got Inanna. So this one you're going to see Nunsun in praise, or Nunsun's sons, or grandson, or great-grandson being presented for kingship. You'll tell Nunsun by her crown of animal horns and her arms, both arms raised in praise. You'll see the giant mixed-breed demigod with either bald or some type of balding haircut to keep lice and things away from the gods. It keeps him cleaner and more presentable. And therefore, he becomes a high priest or a king. And seated is, of course, the moon god holding the moon crescent, Nanner. And above him in the sky is another moon crescent. So whenever you see the moon crescent, we're talking Nanner. And each one of these artifacts, you will probably find a moon crescent, which is the symbol of Nanner. Very interesting slideshows here. Now we go down to the kings writing about Nanner, or they're writing their text, and Nanner is very much a part of what they're talking about. So here we go through, and the first one's a double must read and scroll down. Some of these are short. Most are, you know, a page or two. Some are very long. Those are usually three stars. But you can see not a whole bunch of important ones from the kings. Next is Nanner's moon crescent symbol. And artifact after artifact after artifact, you'll see a moon crescent. Every time you do, they're showing you Nanner. That's what they're telling you. And I love the one where he's, you know, in a flying saucer and kind of looks like a moon crescent. I like those two. Nanner did indeed have a saucer. Now here you see different situations come before Nanner's different gods. Nanner's not in these particular slideshow artifacts, but the moon crescent is. So you're looking for the symbol of Nanner, the moon crescent. In all these scenes that happened in ancient days, they're always including Nanner. Sometimes you'll see a king standing with Nanner's symbol. Sometimes you'll see Nanner seated with his symbol. Sometimes you'll see others with his symbol. And there's, just take a look. There are many symbols there. They're all explained. And Nanner says the moon crescent. It started in Mesopotamia. You find it today on many Islamic nations. Their flag. They use it on their mosque. That symbol is prevalent throughout Islam. Okay? And this is where it comes from. Alright, there's some artifacts of his moon crescent, earrings and such. And then we're at the bottom of the page. When you get there, go to page 2, spouse Nengal. And as you go to page 2 and see Nengal, Queen of Ur, there's her slideshow. And, of course, most of the time she's wearing the crown of animal horns. And there's a moon crescent. Here's some text, quotes, different things on Nengal. Nengal with Inanna and her semi-divine spouses, which Inanna's spouses are kings. So here you see one after the other with Nengal and Inanna with the spouses, with the kings. So Nengal seated, Inanna has her mixed breed giant king by the wrist or the hand, bringing him before her mother, Nengal, as she did bringing him before her father, Nanner. And you'll have artifact after artifact of king after king being brought before Nengal. Very important lady for her. Nengal with Ninsun and her semi-divine sons. Now it's Nengal and Ninsun. And the mixed breed kings of sons to Ninsun. She had 3 mixed breed giant sons, all made kings. One, Ur-Nammu for Ur. Another is Gilgamesh for Uruk. And another is Guda in Lagash. These are her sons. They're 2/3 divine because Ninsun's spouse is a mixed breed giant. By the way, he was king 1,000 years. So, not a whole lot on Nengal's page, but the artifacts are very interesting. So, take a look at them. All right, let's go back to Nanner's page. And at the top of this page should be, let me see, at the top of this page should be an overview right under Nanner texts. The first text is Nanner overview 3-star. Let's take a look at that. Nanner is the moon god. Couple artifacts there. You can see it starts in Sumer. Then he picks up Nana in the Akkadian, then Sen in the Akkadian, and then Suin, you know, just, it's the same thing, Sen, Suin, Sen, Nana, Nanner. Asambaber also is a name, and the biblical period of Abraham, his name was El. The Canaanites called him El, and he was the retired god married to Asherah, who is Nengal. One of the there are five names for God in the Bible. There's Yahweh, there's Jehovah, there's I Am, there's El, and there's Elohim, which is plural for God. So El is Nanner and Ur. At the time of Abraham, they used the name El for God. That is Nanner, living in that giant ziggurat in Ur. All those artifacts show you so. Okay, so anyway, he's also known by the Greeks and the Romans. And Nanner doesn't just go away. He's been here a long, long time. Now, Nanner got ill. Let's see if I can bring that up a little later. The firstborn son to Enlil and Enlil's official wife is Nanner. But the firstborn son to Enlil, without his official wife, because it's his half-sister that he has his first son with, and that son is born of the double seed, Enlil, King Anu's son, and Herzog, King Anu's daughter, offspring becomes next leader born of the double seed. So it's the law of succession to be born of the king or the king's offspring plus another one of the king's offspring. And you have a double seed of these alien DNAs instead of a mix of mankind or mixed breed and alien, or instead of a king, god, a main god, with a concubine. It's just not going to work for an heir. The heir comes from the double seed. That, by the way, is picked up in the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. In the Old Testament, you will find that the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah married their sister, their half-sister, or their first cousin. The reason they did that is for a successor of the double seed. When you've got all the advantages of the gods, or close to all of them, you're not living forever, but you might be living 1,000 years, like biblical Methuselah and Jared and Genan and the rest. You might live 1,000 years down to Noah. And so the first 10 generations down to Noah married their sister, half-sister, or first cousin. The next 10 generations from Noah down to Abraham married their sister, half-sister, or first cousin. They were all mixed-breed giant rulers who kept their advantages, the DNA advantages of the gods that had been given to them. They kept it by marrying their own kind. So their offspring would have the benefits that they have had, trying not to dilute the DNA. So that's how they did it. And Nergal is of the king Anu in one way, and Nanner's of the king Anu in another. Nergal, it says here, is the daughter of Enki and Ninjakuga, whom I believe is Nasaba. Anyway, Nanner's ruling number, and if you look at the assembly of the gods, is number 30, and his wife is number 25. Nanner is the moon god, the moon crescent, his symbol. He fell ill when cousins on Nanner's side fight cousins on Enki's side, and wars break out, and eventually Enlil hands his son his son's nuclear missiles to strike at Marduk. When those nuclear missiles hit, and then you have Sodom and Gomorrah and these type of things, when these missiles hit, there were seven of them, and there's a text about that. When they hit, the fallout was blown right over their city states, right over Mesopotamia, right through Sumer. And Nanner is screaming out, Daddy, who is the commander of the colony called Earth, Daddy, who is Enlil, will you save my city? This is the gorgeous, fantastic Ur. This is too important. At least save my city. And Enlil says to his son, I gave you Ur, but I did not give it to you forever. Anyway, Nanner hangs in there as long as he can with his wife. The fallout comes. They get sick. Nanner goes into retirement. In that retirement, it is possible that Nanner's moon crescent symbol was handed down to his son, Utu, who at the time was the sun god. But with Sen, Nanner Sen, in retirement, you can see how prominent the moon crescent symbol is today. I believe that's Utu acting as the moon god in the absence of his father, Nanner, who got sick from fallout. So anyway, Nanner was the head of state, the head sovereign, alien god over Ur. It's his house that is the temple of Ur. Abraham's father, Terah, was the high priest of that temple. That makes him a mixed breed giant, a demigod, as Abraham is. As I mentioned before, they all married their sister, half-sister, or first cousin. If there's no sister or half-sister, they marry the first cousin. And you can see that practice with the king of England today and his ex-spouse, who's deceased, Diana. Diana was his cousin, first cousin. So to produce an heir, the next king of the double seed, Prince William is born of the double seed, Diana and his daddy, who is now king. Okay, here we go. Here's a temple. Haran, by the way, is a city, smaller city than Ur, but it was built as a copy of Ur for Nanner. as an offering to Nanner, they created a little called Haran. And you'll see that mentioned in the Bible. It's one of those cities. Ehulhul, or whatever, was the temple of Sen, or Nanner, in Haran. That's his name of his house. The next one, house of the seat of the throne, that was Nanner's temple in Ur, that monstrosity. It was also called house seating light to the earth. Or, and this is for real, house with teeming cattle. Nanner possessed over 1 million cattle in his cattle pens. He had 5 or 6 or 7 different types of cattle, but it ended up he's got 1 million cows in Ur. Now, who's he feeding with those cows? Well, he's feeding the gods who came down, and the kings, and the high priests, and then the earthlings. Let's see here. Sin again, the small shining city of Sin. Here's the temple of the bond of heaven. These are all hotels for Sin in different cities. You got your house, your hometown, city state, and then when you go visit your brother up in, say, Lagash, your brother's got a private hotel for you, a private temple for you in the Gash, little brother. You see how that works? So if there are multiple temples in a town, city, state, it's just the family for visitations. Unless it's the main city of a particular god, like Ur is to Nanner. According to Sitchin books, and, you know, Sitchin was, I recommend reading Sitchin books. Part of the Sinai Peninsula was called by the Old Testament the Wilderness of Sin. That's Nanner. That's the Sinai Peninsula. Mount Sinai is named in Arabic Nahal, after the goddess Nengal, who is the spouse to Nanner, Sin. Jericho, it says in the Semitic biblical word, means city of the moon god. Allah in Arabic is adopted from El. That's Nanner. And in retirement, perhaps that's Utu. Okay, Nanner's sons, Utu, the sun god, very powerful lawgiver and so forth. And Papsical, by the way, Utu runs the landing and launch ports. All those zones and landing pads that you can't blast off without Utu. Anyway, the daughters are for... They're very important, and Nanna, the goddess of love and war, when you see her page, you'll see why. And Reshkigal, very interesting here. Reshkigal is the queen of the underworld, married to Nergal, whom you might say is Hades, or you might say... He has several names. Anyway, if the underworld, that's she runs it. That's her territory. In that underworld, it is quite possible that the South Pole has a gigantic hole that you can fly into and discover an ancient city that could be the underworld. And the ziggurat found down in that hole is probably the ziggurat of Ereshkigal. Just saying, can't say for sure, but I'd say it sure looks that way as an opening to the underworld, and she's the queen of the underworld. So you start putting this all together, you see, I mean, how it fits like a glove. It fits text from your religion, text from your, you know, whether you're a Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, it doesn't matter, Hebrew, you're basically saying the same thing. And then the Hebrews try to adopt the one God, monotheism, and, you know, it goes so far, it's rejected by those who know that there are more than one God. And next, you got problems between religions. By the way, Abraham from Ur is known as the God of the three main religions on earth today. Abraham's son, who did not get killed in the blood offering, instead, Abraham sacrifices a ram. You'll find an artifact to that effect when you go to Ur. Anyway, Abraham is sitting there as the father of these three religions. And how that happens is his wife, Sarah, who's his sister, is barren. She's not producing any heirs. His wife, sister wife, offers him one of her slave girls or servant girls. And so he lays with her and produces a son. They name the son Ishmael. Okay? And Ishmael is loved and so forth. And Sarah, the spouse, is kind of jealous. But the son is the heir, and one is produced. Thank goodness for Abraham. Ishmael turns about 10 years old when all of a sudden Abraham's spouse, his sister, who is now 100 years old, gets pregnant at 100. That tells you that she's a mixed breed and she lives a long time. She's still fertile at 100. She has a son, and they call that son Ishmael. I'm sorry. Itzhak. So the concubine produces son Ishmael, and official wife, sister, produces son Itzhak, or Isaac. As soon as Isaac is born, the official wife, Sarah, turns to the servant girl and says, "Take Ishmael and get out of here. you're banned." Ishmael is no longer the heir. Isaac is born of the double seed. Ishmael is born of Abraham and a non-mixed breed servant girl. Isaac is born of Abraham, who is a mixed breed, and his sister wife, Sarah, who is a mixed breed, producing a demigod that they call Isaac, who is said to be sacrificed and then saved from the sacrifice, and later is the leader of the Hebrews. And that line goes on down through time, followed in the biblical texts. So Abraham is the father of all three religions, because Ishmael, through him, comes the Arabs and comes Islam. Through Abraham to Isaac comes the Hebrews, and from the Hebrews later come the Christians. So Abraham's sons are the beginnings of Islam, Hebrew, Judaism, I guess, and later Christianity comes from that, all under Abraham, who happens to be not some poor shepherd. He happens to be the son of the high priest of Ur. That's like saying the second most powerful in New York is so-and-so. That's what Ur was, the metropolis of commerce. Tremendous place. Plus, it had the cattle. So it's very important, in my opinion, to get a close look at Nanner. He doesn't seem to be a warrior god. He seems to be more of an advancing man, advancing civilization type of god. And, you know, he wanted the best city, and he had it. So he and his wife both are very important. And, of course, from Nanner comes people like Abraham. Okay, that's Nanner, and please take a close look at him and his wife, Nengel. And, of course, you'll find more about Nanner in other texts, you know, about other gods as well. All right. Thank you for listening.